IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Mile Across Podcast, where I talk about what's happening in the game, talk to some awesome people within the game, and yeah, just have a chance to talk lacrosse with everyone. Thank you for tuning in, and this is the start of a series that I'm really excited to do, just talking about what's going on in the world, how that affects us within lacrosse, and different ways to be an ally, especially. I'm going to be interviewing some really, really great friends that I've made throughout my lacrosse journey, and new friends as well, learning more about their lacrosse journey, you know, how they fit into the game, how they feel about being part of the community, and how they're working to actively make changes within the game, because I think that's the important part, and I really want to make sure we spread all that love and show that, you know, everyone within the game wants to make a difference. So today I have someone that I absolutely adore and have wanted to have on the pod for so long. She's laughing at me, but it's true. I'm going to try. I have Joanna Lignelli here today, and I'll let her introduce herself because I know people enjoy when people get to introduce themselves. But Joanna has just been someone that I have gotten to know over my official lacrosse girl journey, from like bugging her when I was, you know, however old, being like, can I have a stick? Can I have a stick so I can do a giveaway? Can you tell me about this new stick from SCX? Can I come see SCX? To now being, you know, close friends and someone who checked in on me, you know, when things were really, really heavy. And I appreciated that so much. So Joanna, thank you for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me, T. I'm really happy to be here. You know, I've enjoyed our friendship over the years. I've enjoyed your journey. And so it's really fun to get to talk to a friend of mine about the stuff that we love. So thank you.
Absolutely. So usually I would have like the little bio write-up, but again, I thought it'd be fun to hear it from you. Okay. But, you know, obviously you played D1 lacrosse and now we're at STX. She has an awesome office at STX. Love seeing her office and doing some really cool stuff there. So can you talk a little bit about your journey, how you started playing, where you're from, all that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a town outside of Philadelphia, Boyertown, Pennsylvania. I'm the oldest of three. And we were just encouraged to play sports growing up. And my dad played football in college, and we all just kind of played everything. And so I started playing lacrosse when I was in middle school. So first time I picked up a stick, I think I was 13. But I played like basketball and hockey and all kinds of stuff growing up. And fortunate enough to play at the College of William & Mary, I played hockey and lacrosse there. And you know, didn't expect to make sports a career, but I always say I won the job lottery. And when people, you know, when I got an opportunity to do something, I said yes, even if I had no idea what I was doing and I was sheer panicking on the inside. Went at it with confidence, figured it out. So SGX called one day and said, hey, we'd love to work with you. I was coaching a little team in Philly at the time, but you'd have to move to Baltimore and you're going to be a product manager. And I was like, a what and where? Okay. So that's kind of how that journey started. So 15 years later, been at STX for 15 years. And I've been a product manager, and STX is a small company. So done a lot of things there. And just kind of really love it, and enjoy what I do and enjoy the people that I work with and the people that I get to interact. And now it's, you know, gotten me a world traveling gig and, you know, going all over the place, been to tons of countries and spreading the game. And I mean, why not work in a sport that you love? Right. So it was never intended to be a career. But when people asked, I said, sure, why not? And here we are.
That's awesome. So what does a product manager do, especially in the role and all the different aspects of that?
Yeah. So at STX, the PMs are responsible for, you know, the actual product line. So when I started there, I was the field hockey product manager. Then I became the lacrosse one about a year later. So I managed field hockey and lacrosse products at STX and also launched the Nike brand. So when we partnered with Nike, I was part of that program as well. So they're responsible for the product from idea to execution, really. So idea to reality. So we have an idea, we have a concept, we have a problem we need to solve, we have, you know, a price point we need to hit or whatever. And so the product manager writes a product brief, works with the R&D folks and the product designers and works product research, talks to players, what do they think about it all along the way, you know, even down to like naming the product. And yeah, that's the hardest thing. You'd be surprised.
Anything sorry, maybe a goggle, a
stick. You know?
No, just it's out there. It's out there.
It's, yeah, the tar. I can see the Tari goggle. I can see it. Yeah, so it's kind of it's a really neat thing to see sort of the development of something from idea to actually seeing it on the shelf. So I did that for 7 years, and then moved over into the sales team, and I've been working in sales ever since. But as the key account director, so I manage. I work with all our key retailers, key distribution partners, in bringing in the lines, both the men's and women's, STX and Nike. So 4 lines.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Busy job. How long does usually take the idea of wanting to make a stick to it actually being out in the stores?
Yeah, it can take anywhere from, 18 months is really short to 3 years. I can tell you that tonight out of practice, I was testing a stick that is scheduled to come out in 2022.
Wow. That's like a year. Like I thought you were like, oh, it could be 8 months, it could be a year.
That's wow. Awesome. Yeah. Well, we want to make sure we do it right, you know? So, it takes time to do it right. It takes time to, make sure that it works. In order to do it right, it does take that long, which can be frustrating sometimes. But yeah, it does. I know. Goggles are a little bit shorter, but yes, heads are about 2 to 3 years.
And how does STX or how do you go about kind of like researching what's going on in the game and then innovating sticks with that far out of a timeline to like still deliver and innovate, but kind of understanding the landscape of the game?
Yeah. So we watch the game a lot. All of us played, and it's certainly not a prerequisite to play lacrosse work at STX, but understanding the game is important. There's that element to it. We look at a lot of problem statements. What don't you like about your current stick and why? Oh, I can't pick up a ground ball, or I want to be able to throw it further, or it's too heavy, or, you know, I want something that's quicker, or something like that. And so we look at our products, we look at every product that's out there. What's the problem with the product? And so you kind of look at it that way. What problems do kids have or players have that you want to solve? Mm-hmm. The next thing is also taking a look at a product and how can we make something better? Or also, you know, we work also on developing a technology. So, you know, 10 Degree, for example, was a technology, that we worked on and then we applied it to a product. So it can go both ways, and then materials and shapes and things. And then you got to work within the rules. So you've got a rules thing you got to look at, and how do we, there was one project we put together ahead that maximized every measurement. And what would that look like? It's not playable, by the way, but, it's kind of an interesting exercise to look at. So looking at things like that, like how do we take a rule looking at the rules and how do we work within them?
Wow, that sounds cool. So you have sticks somewhere in your place. You have like a little stick vault and all the super secret sticks are in there.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we have stuff that we're that we're working on. We have stuff that we've never come out with because it like just didn't work. We have stuff that, yeah, that never made it. Or we have a couple technologies we've been working on for years.
Yeah.
And we know it's there. Like we know that, there's an application somewhere. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
And so some of that is you'll see.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I, as a player, like never had really thought about all the mechanics and the different kind of pieces of the puzzle that go into the stick. Like we just walk up to the store, we go online, we buy the stick and you know, that's that. But to yeah. hear it take up to 3 years for the stick to come out and yeah, just all the research and all the different parts that go into it. That sounds awesome. So.
And then you have to be able to make it. Like you have to be able to manufacture it. It has to withhold, you know, withhold the current game. And so, you know, there's a lot more to that whole thing.
Right.
And, you know, manufacturing it and getting it here and all that. So between the materials and the engineering and the, you know, all that analysis that goes into it, it's pretty wild.
It's a team effort. It's a team.
Yeah, it is. It really is a team effort. And I'm really, you know, proud to say that at STX, there are a lot of women that are on these teams that are part of these teams. You know, me being on the sales team and our product manager, who's a woman, and our marketing manager is a woman. And there are a couple women in our R&D and engineering departments, because we do feel like that is, it is important. And so it's kind of a neat experience to work with all those people. But yeah, it takes a village to make a lacrosse stick team. Yeah,
the lacrosse village.
Yeah, that's it cool. does. It does.
I can't wait to be on the field. You know, if y'all need testers, you know where to find me.
I know.
Keep a secret. yeah, that's awesome. And another, you know, kind of part of your lacrosse life, at least from, you know, different ways that I've interacted with you, being part of the U.S. Lacrosse Trainers Program. So can you talk a little bit about that and how you're involved, and then kind of dive in a little more about how I've gotten involved in that and the different ways that the game is evolving.
Yeah, that's a program. It started actually, it was like 2005 or something, a long time ago. And that was an example of, I did not know what this program was. It was brand new. My friend Beth was in at U.S. Lacrosse in the education department, and she's like, hey, we have this training going on. I think you just want to give it a go, like give it a try. And I was like, a what? Okay. So I went, and it turned out to be the coach development program, and I was part of the first class of trainers that they trained. I had no idea what I was doing, but it was really fun. So what we do there is we teach coaches how to coach. And so, you know, with how to communicate with kids on the field, how to teach mechanics, how to teach the game, how to relate to kids, how to you know, have them love it and come back and all of that stuff. So it's all part of it. And that program has evolved tremendously. When I started the level one, it was called level one. It was a 7-hour workshop. It was in a classroom. It was on a field. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, man, I would be like sore for a week after teaching one of those. That evolved to being, I was part of the development of turning that into the 3-hour on field and adapting it to athlete development, which is super fun. And that's been a great experience of adapting that model. And now we teach coaches how to coach on the field, just as you would teach players how to play. The really neat part is, you know, learning how to teach adults versus how to teach kids and how to relate to adults and how to relate to kids. And, you know, it's made me certainly, it's given me the ability to relate a lot more, at STX and at everything that I do there. So it all kind of blends. And that's been a really fun program. So I was also fortunate enough to help, write the content for the level two, which is developing the team player, and then turning that from a 7-hour classroom field session to a 4-hour on field session. which was really fun, and writing up all those games. And that's a pilot program. I mean, that's something that that takes about a year, believe it or not, from concept to execution. We want to take 7 hours and we want to make it in 4, and we want to do this and we want it to hit athlete development.
Right.
Okay. And so we do pilot programming where we try it and fail miserably. I remember the first couple of pilots, I was like, well, that was terrible. Okay, now we know what not to do. And, that's all part of the process of being okay to fail. I was taught that early on as a kid. And so, like, all right, let's give it a try. Now we know what not to do. Right. Now we know why it doesn't work that way. So let's try it this way. And being okay with trying it again. So that's a lot that you learn through developing with the coach, developing these workshops. Now I'm actually working on turning the level 3, which we're now calling developing the team, into an online virtual workshop. So that was all in person. Now we're going to put it on Zoom, which will give access to something like that to so many more coaches, which is the really neat part about that. Like, nobody wants to be on another Zoom call. We know that. However, if we're physically delivering this workshop in physical locations, now we're doing it on Zoom, which means anybody anywhere has access to the workshop. So that's the really neat part about it. And that is harder than you think. I thought it was going to be easy. Oh yeah, no problem. Let's just throw the content right on a screen. Nope.
Gotta have a script. Gotta read it out. Deliver it to the people. But no, I mean, that's a great point too about the access portion. Like, you're giving more people a chance. They might not be able to travel, might have conflicts, but now they can access, that workshop at any time that they have. And that's really great. And I'm getting I'm part of the level 1 program. Getting my notches on my belt for level 1. And it's awesome. I think, I've always wanted to coach, and I, have coached clinics, and I'm part of the Sankofa program. And now to be part of the U.S. Lacrosse program and, like, kind of learn how I'm teaching other coaches and work with other coaches. I think the people that are part of the program too, I always learn something when I'm with them. And it's just like, it baffles my mind that there's so many other aspects to the game than what I thought. It's like, okay, I played and got to play in college some, and I play in the league. I'm like, oh, okay, is my lacrosse career, is that my done? Is that all, that I'm going to do? But no, you could coach, you can design sticks, you can tweet about, like, there's so many awesome things that are part of the game that you can do. And, like, that's part of why I do these podcast episodes and talk to so many people, because I want everyone to know, like, the possibilities are literally endless. Like, if I can way into the hearts of people around the world, like, we can all, stay part of the game in so many different ways. So yeah, it's cool. And I will, any opportunity to play Hungry Hungry Hippos, I will take it.
I know, it's the best game.
Good old time to play Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh, it's so fun. And like, learning in that program, I learned, to your point, I learned something from everybody, which I do. I learn something new every time I teach one of these or work with the coaches in one of these. And it's like, the neat part about that is there's no one way to do anything. Mm-hmm. And everybody's got great ideas. And so the more information or the more ideas I can get from other people, the more we can spread it around everybody else. It's to using your platform of, all these other ideas. And there really is no one way to do anything. There's really just a right way and a wrong way. So it's pretty, it's been really, really fun. And I've enjoyed learning as much as I've enjoyed teaching it. So
for sure.
Good.
So as a coach, I don't know if we mentioned that at the beginning, but you coach club, right now you're coaching 2 teams and kind of getting back into coaching, players, especially kind of in this climate. But what I really wanted to ask about was, obviously you've gotten to coach a lot of different places, and you live in a place that has a large population of people of color, Black people, and kind of more background too for everyone listening. So Joanna called me, like, I had, I think it was maybe the day, I don't know if it was at the same time as the protest, but I had been tweeting about everything that was happening and kind of sharing my experiences, and you called me, and I think we talked for literally like 2 hours. Like, I was just things on my mind that day, and I had just not been able, like, I hadn't had an opportunity yet to vocalize those things, and you called at the perfect time, and it was like talking to someone that I, you know, look to as a mentor, as a friend who understands the way I'm feeling and is, and maybe not exactly in my shoes, obviously, because, you know, a little bit of different shades of brown over here, but you took the time and like asked the questions and listened to what I had to say and asked more questions and really opened up your heart to learn more about what was happening. And so I just wanted to kind of talk about, you know, both in the context of where you live and in lacrosse, like, how do you go about being an ally for underrepresented people in the game, for Black people in the game? And then right now, like, what are you actively doing with your team or for yourself to educate yourself and educate others?
Yeah. I think number one, listening. You know, I talk to a lot of different people and I continue to do so. And I have decided, you know, I listen. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how you feel. Tell me why, so that I can listen and understand. And I do think that understanding the culture is so, so important to understanding how to manage it. So to give you an example, we teach these workshops for World Lacrosse. We go in a few days earlier than the workshop, and we usually get a tour of the country or, you know, the town or wherever we are, and get a culture background. This is the culture. And what it helps us do is relate to the kids that we're working with. And so that day is spent listening. And so when I go to Haiti, I spent a day listening to all that those people went through. Now it was one day. Those people have been through, you know, thousands of years of things. But that one day, I was able to understand culturally how those people feel and what those people think, so that the things that, so that when I spoke to them or when I worked with them, I could work with them and speak to them in a way that they would understand and respect and appreciate. You know, in Israel, it's the same thing. So lots of different places. So it's the same thing here. And now, you know, listening and telling how you feel, and then being able to relate and have empathy and being supportive, and just giving access, access to the phone call, access to a text, whatever it is, or a practice or a field or a game or whatever, access to a conversation. And so, you know, I spoke to my team in a few different ways, about these things. You know, does anybody want to talk about this? And I don't think anyone asked those kids that question ever, because they all looked at me like, why? And I, you know, I just said, if anybody wants to talk about anything, I will listen. If you don't, that's okay. If you want to talk about it now as a group, great. If you don't, let's talk individually. And I talked to several kids individually about their feelings, about what they wanted to say. I worked with one actually who really felt the need to post something on social media that was supportive, that spoke her position in a respectful way. And so the conversations that I was having with these kids is like, I can control what I say and I can control my actions. What I can't do is control the lens that the other person is receiving that information. Mm-hmm. So think about all of the lenses that are going to read your post or hear your words or watch your actions.
Right.
And what do those lenses see?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And so when you stop and you think about it that way, that's the conversation I've been having with these kids, is like, there are a lot of lenses. Mm-hmm. And what do those lenses see?
Yeah.
And, you know, I worked through this post that one of these kids wrote, and you know, her concern was like, you know, I don't want anyone to take it the wrong way. And I said, well, if you're worried about somebody taking it the wrong way, then there's probably something wrong there.
Yeah.
So what's the lens that someone would take it the wrong way? Mm-hmm. And like getting them to think about it. And when, you know, there was some recent activity with some lacrosse players losing some opportunities because of things that they said and did. Obviously that's an example of a communication that was, you know, didn't need all the lenses.
And
was tone deaf and was, you know, and the implications of that, I think that's the other side of it is what are the implications of that? Like, if you're worried, why are you worried? Mm-hmm. So again, it's more listening. Tell me why you're worried about what you're saying.
Right.
Why are you worried about what you're writing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're worried about it, then you need to read it again. Or understand it again and really thinking about it and how important your actions are. So what I'm doing a lot of is listening. What I'm doing a lot of is educating myself. I've had some great conversations with some people, some close friends of mine in a very open forum. And I've been doing a lot of listening to people over at Positive Coaching Alliance. And they're doing a lot of work that sports can battle racism. And they're developing some workshops on that topic and, you know, listening and, you know, really trying to understand and have very open conversations. Very, very open conversations.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, yeah.
I'm also trying to just smile more and like be nice.
Yeah.
Like
things are bad enough right now. Everyone.
Right. Like I'm trying to like, you know, in your head, you ever, it sounds so silly, but like you're walking down the street and like, oh, I like that lady's shoes. I would never say it. Now I'm like, I love your shoes. Like, it's just like, you know who feels good about that? Me. It sounds so silly, but.
Yeah. And I think what really struck me about what you said is like giving that room for your players to, if they're feeling things, if they want to express things, if they need help expressing things in a certain way, offering your perspective. Because I, just speaking to, you know, some other players and thinking of, you know, in the context of my own life, like when things happen, who do I turn to when I need help saying things? Like, what do I do when I'm unsure? And having someone offer their hand and say, okay, like, I'm going to help you think through this because obviously, you know, I want you to present yourself in the correct manner. And I don't want this to ever come back to you in a certain way. And, you know, especially right now. And I understand the fear. I think at first I didn't. And, I've shifted a little bit in my tweeting, but over, you know, a couple of years back, I probably been like, listen, everyone who's silent, you don't care about people, you don't care about Black people, like, blah, blah, blah. But as I've grown and being in the workforce and now understanding and seeing all the different ways that things can be taken, I almost get it. And I don't know how to phrase that, but it's like, you know, I think of, okay, was there a pro player that I wanted to speak out more strongly or speak out at all? And maybe they took too long, in my opinion, or they didn't speak up before. What I really had to do was sit back and think like, okay, why aren't they speaking up right now? Could it be a contract that's stopping them? Or maybe they just don't know what to say and just need a little bit more time. And I wonder, I'm like, okay, is it better for them to take time and say something really impactful that reaches a lot of people because they have this reach and also like doesn't put them in jeopardy? Like what are, it's just all these different thoughts I have in my head. And I don't think I've rationalized those thoughts perfectly, but I realize now, like, it's not as easy as I thought it was to just speak up. And for me, I think I can tweet on my account because honestly, it's mine. Like I don't have a sponsorship. I don't have a contract. Like it's just me and I'm going to say it. And that's how I feel. But I know that not everyone is in that position. And so that's something that I've looked into myself. But really, I mean, the responses and support I've gotten has been phenomenal. So many players and people within the game have reached out to me and like supported me, whether it's on social media, it's through calls, through texts. So I'm really glad that our community stood up. And, you know, if someone did take a little bit of time, I'm glad that they took the opportunity and like understood how important their platform was to really give the message and make sure that the message like served Black people the right way and did justice to the cause. So yeah, that's just a thought that I had that's been floating forever.
I think you know, it's your way is through your platform. And I think that, and you do a fantastic job. And I really enjoy your perspective. I enjoy your support of this game and the people who play it and the people who love it. And, you know, you have been a fantastic voice, for everybody. And I look forward to this, you know, to working with you for a really long time. On the other side, it's just as important to listen. And so there's the voice and there's the listening. And so, you know, I tend to be more of a listener, and that's how I handle things. So the way that I handled it was reaching out to people individually and saying, you know, let's talk about this, or tell me how you feel. You know, it feels great to vent, or, you know, all this. And so, you know, speaking to my players individually or anybody else who wants to do that. So I took the approach of really listening, and leading by example. And, you know, if talking to these kids about how to handle, racism when they see it, because it's easy to walk away. And I mean, see it on the field, mm-hmm. Right? When you see it, what do? I just ignore it. No, you know, I don't want you to ignore it. If you're uncomfortable saying something to the person in the moment because you don't know what to say, which I completely understand, you're young, tell me. I will handle it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you to come with me to handle it so you can see how I handle it. But, say something. Mm-hmm. And there's a way for you to say something. And if you don't know how to do it, I will help you. I mean, I just had this conversation tonight with somebody. This is your opportunity to say no. She was like, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, I know. We're going to go do this together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A long time ago, one of my mentors for the Posse Foundation, and I'm a talker. Like, I love talking. I love people. Mm-hmm. Have something to say. But he challenged me to listen more as well. And I was like, I listen all the time. I know how to listen. And then I thought about it, like, girl, you be talking. You don't always listen. And yeah, I think having a little bit more time at home and being in kind of a more introspective space, I have learned how to ask even better questions. Like, that was a couple years ago and I've gotten better at that, but just asking more questions and even asking within my community. I think of my cousins and my sister and my parents and everyone, you know, we were asking each other how we were doing, but it was never, I think now it's at an even deeper level. You know, I ask my male cousins, I say, like, I've said to them, like, do you feel safe? Like, in the neighborhood, you know, are you okay running? Like, are you safe running? Do you need to share your location? Like, do you feel safe being out at night? You know, my Black female cousins, my sister, I asked, like, do you feel safe when you're out and about? Like, you know, we all share each other's locations. There's all these different things now that we all have to get even deeper in listening and understanding each other. And I'm glad that allies are out there listening, asking questions as well, because I think the change will just take everyone. One of the questions I had as well was, you know, what do you have to say to adults in the game that are afraid to speak up? That could be a coach, a player, a parent. You know, what's kind of the call to action for them, and how can they put themselves in the position to maybe either not even feel more comfortable, because we're all uncomfortable. It's all uncomfortable. But yeah, just to be more vocal.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you know, pay attention. Right. And if you see something, say something and have the confidence to do the right thing. It's easy to pretend like it didn't happen. It's easy to walk away and say nothing and stay out of it. It's not easy to say something. And there is a respectful way to battle these things. It's also, what are you teaching your kids? What example are you setting? These kids learned it from somewhere.
Right.
So they learned it from a parent, a teacher, a coach, somewhere. They aren't born with that. So what are you teaching them? What did they hear you say? What are they watching? What are you watching? What are they, you know? And so, you know, paying attention to your own actions is just as important as paying attention to the kids' actions. And when it's not okay, it's not okay. And using terminology that's, you know, offensive is not okay. But also giving them the words that they can use. Why are you saying that? Why did you call that person that? Why did you call her that name? And there's usually because she did this or because he did that. Okay, well, how did that make you feel? Now you just made that person feel that way. So asking more questions of these kids, how did that make you feel? Do you want to feel that way? No. Then don't make others feel that way.
Yeah.
And this is how, that's the lens. This is what she heard. And I talk all the time with people about what you say versus what you hear, right? The words, you saying the words are one thing, but what that person hears is something else. You know, the classic one is, you know, my dad will be like, I don't really like those pants. And I'm like, so you're saying I'm fat. You know, it's like, you know, it's like silly like that. But that's an example of like, that's not what he said, but that's what I heard.
Right.
And so what did you hear? And so oftentimes I will actually ask that question of kids and parents, not what did I say or what happened, but what did you hear? Because what they heard is very, there could be five different things that they heard. Coming out, you know, I'm probably not explaining this well, but ask the question of what did you hear versus what happened? And you'll be surprised at the response.
Right, because the impact might be different than what you assumed. Like it might be clear for you, but yeah, I think that's definitely important.
What did you hear?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversations that need to happen and we just need more people to have them.
I know, we're gonna continue having them. It's an ongoing, evolving thing. I'm really encouraged by the conversations. Yeah, I'm encouraged by our conversation. I'm encouraged by conversations I've had with other people. I've learned more in the last month than I've learned, you know, in 4 years of high school. I hope that it continues, and I expect it to continue. I want it to continue. So I'm going to continue educating on how to talk to people and how to receive information and how to have difficult conversations. Also, you know, do you want to talk about this? It's a great conversation starter. Do you want to talk about it? No. All right. Well, I think that we should talk about this at some point. So why don't you let me know when you're ready to talk about this?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put people in an uncomfortable situation either, and the opposite would occur. You know, do you want to talk about this? Yeah. All right. Well, tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what went on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you see as the actions that lacrosse specifically needs to take? Because I think for so long, we've been having the grow the game conversation of we need to grow the game. We need to, you know, get sticks in people's hands and things like that. But I think now more than ever, people are realizing that it's not just putting the stick in a young Black player's hand and calling it a day. Like there are there's still so many systematic things that players are still going to face, racism on the field, off the field, you know, barriers to getting to practice, getting to games, getting equipment, et cetera. And I'm just curious kind of your perspective of like, what are actionable items that can happen within the game, or what do we as a community need to do to like make sure it's not just, okay, we gave sticks away and like lacrosse is for everyone now. And I think there are already like organizations that do a great job of this, you know, Harlem Lacrosse, Oklahoma Lacrosse, like all these different, Kenya Lacrosse, like lots of organizations doing things. But I'm just curious about that through your lens as well.
Yeah, I think providing an opportunity that gives access to everybody is incredibly important. So it sounds odd, but it's like, you know, having practice at times where it's convenient for parents who work, parents who work nights, kids who have to babysit younger siblings, having practices in locations that are accessible. You know, like the fields aren't always accessible by everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we can do little things and I think that older players teaching younger players is vital. And having, you know, older players teaching younger players in different communities. Mm-hmm. You know, and Harlem Lacrosse is a great example. And I think more partnerships with groups like that, with established clubs, mm-hmm. that can bring things together a lot more. But start with just opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, when are your practices? If your practice is at 4:00, you're already cutting out the people that have to work until 5, or have to babysit their younger sister until mom gets home, or, you know, or having a practice at a location that's closer to public transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And providing, you know, everything. And so giving sticks away is one thing, but how about always having, you know, 20 sticks at a practice? Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to, you're not giving anything away. The stick is going home with you. It's coming back. So in order for them to play, they have to come to that practice or whatever. So I think there are certainly ways, but it takes work. And it takes a lot of work. And I think that a lot of people want to do the work. But it does take work, and it also takes commitment. It takes long-term commitment to do something like that. But start with opportunity. Think through everything that if every coach thought through everything that they were doing from all the different lenses, the working mom lens, the transportation lens, the opportunity lens, you know, I think you would get more people playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like, I think about that and I'm like, yeah, of course, you know, the inner city kids can't come to practice because it's at 3:00.
Yeah.
And it's not anyone's fault, but like think through some things like that, you know?
Yeah. Like just, I mean, I think of my own experience, like if I couldn't get a ride from a friend, I would probably just take the bus from practice, or I'd walk. And like,
right.
I was lucky because at least my school and my practice fields were close to public transportation, but that wasn't the case always for club. Like, it took me 2 buses to get to club, or a tournament, we actually planned to go, and all these different things. And like, I think I didn't know how to perfectly vocalize that back when I was going through it. And I talked about that in my Inside Lacrosse piece, like, wait a minute, like, I'm thinking back to that many years ago, like, all these things were happening. And this is, you know, this is really what I want to figure out how to focus on and how to mitigate and make easier for other players, so that doesn't have to be what stops you, you know, access to the field or practice at a certain time, or there's all these things that we know that they can affect, but like the actionable steps to mitigate those things weren't in place yet. And I'm so glad you've mentioned all those things, because I think it was maybe in the back of people's heads, but now it can be in the forefront. It can be like, okay, like, how can I really, really help my team and make sure that my team is accessible for everyone, to make sure that anyone who wants to play can play, because it does go beyond the stick, right? It's
It's the stick's actually a very minor part.
Yeah.
It's, and as you were talking, I was even thinking.
What? I said they heard it from someone from SDX. So
yeah, the stick is my exactly. Yeah, and as you were talking, I was thinking, like, you know, rec programs are dying because club is taking over, which is excluding a population that can't afford or can't physically get to a club. Yeah. So, you know, what if every club program ran a rec program? Mm-hmm. You know, where it's low cost or no cost, anybody can come, it's play days, it's clinics, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Now you're providing accessibility.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So what if every club provided one day of accessibility for everybody, twice a month?
I'm gonna challenge some clubs.
There you go.
Maybe I'll challenge them to multiple days, but anyway.
Just start with one. Start easy. I think that's part of the issue too, is like people think they have to do everything at once, right? I think I have to do it all right now. Start small.
And that's my brain too, is like, oh, like I need to check off all these things. I gotta do all these things. But yeah. Again, that's why we have these conversations, because we can work together and figure it out together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, one day, just one day. And that's part of what I love about being part of the Sankofa program. And this is the U.S. Lacrosse Sankofa Coaching Alliance. For those listening and are interested, we get to kind of go around the U.S. and sometimes other places as well, and work with local organizations and programs. And it is the most fun. Like, I just love it, because it's, you know, Monday through Friday, I'm at an office or at a desk working, and then I get to go to a Sankofa clinic and run around and listen to someone tell me about the first book they read or coloring and game. And it's just like, it's just lacrosse at its happiest and best. And it's at any level. Sometimes we have like super little kids, sometimes we have high schoolers. And I think it's made me a better player and better coach and better person. But, you know, I think those kind of days provide such an amazing opportunity, because we're all coaches from different backgrounds, and we may look like the players on the field, might not look like them on the field, but we're all there just for that day, for those, you know, 3 or so hours, and playing the game, teaching the game. And those organizations are actively working to have multiple of those sessions, whether it's with us or with other coaches, to make it accessible and to provide opportunities. You know, I think back to, we went to Oakland, and shout out to Oakland squad, but you know, we did clinics in 2 different parts of the city, and it was awesome. It was like, you know, one group might have been a little bit newer to the game, and the other might have been, you know, a little bit, they'd been playing for a little bit longer, but both sessions were so great. And just hearing the passion that those organizations had, and learning about how we could collaborate with them and help their players and make like a more long-lasting impact, to me, that really struck me, and is why I love that program. And I love, you know, coaching, because, you know, we might not necessarily have taught every single thing about lacrosse, all the X's and O's, but being able to collaborate and use resources that US Lacrosse has and the community has, and really like bring equipment, bring learning, leave them with, you know, knowledge that we have, and help those coaches, empower them to coach their players, is awesome. So yeah, it's just, it's the best. I think, like, I just smile the whole time I'm there, and they're probably like, this lady is crazy, we don't want
Are you kidding me? Your smile is so infectious.
I just love it so much. I'm sure, like, oh, here she goes. So but yeah, no, I love that. I think we should challenge different programs and different coaches. And I think the other fear, at least from conversations I've had, is, you know, someone might say, like, well, I'm not really like the best player, and I don't know if I can really coach, like I've never coached before. But I think if you're willing to learn and learn from others around you that are coaching, that you can look at and admire and say, okay, like, wow, Ebony's a really good coach, Rick's a really good coach, like I want to learn from them and take the time to learn how to, you know, kind of emulate that and like be better, then it's for everyone. And yeah, just having fun. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah, I know. It is really fun. I'd also challenge like other sports, you know, one day at a basketball practice, let's have lacrosse day, and vice versa. One day at lacrosse practice, have a basketball day or soccer day, and at soccer practice, have a lacrosse practice, and like expose more people and kids and even coaches. Coaches are, you know, we get a lot of coaches at these workshops, and as you've seen, that are like have never seen the sport, but these kids couldn't play if they didn't have the confidence to come to one of these workshops. And use what you know. Mm-hmm. I've learned the best stuff from basketball coaches and football coaches and soccer coaches. Mm-hmm. Like a coach is a coach, man. Mm-hmm. It does not matter what stick or ball or goal is out there. Coaching's coaching. Mm-hmm. And if we can get more sort of synergy with other sports, I think that would open up a ton of opportunities. So,
definitely. Yeah. Oh, good old lacrosse. I just want to play so badly. I'm ready.
You can come out to my practice. You want to coach?
Yes, please.
One night.
Yeah, I got the email for box, so I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
I'm comfortable now. Like, I'm ready.
I love it.
My sweaty gear, and everyone just smells so horrible. Anyway, so that is not lacrosse. It's the truth. This was a couple weeks ago, getting in my car and being like, what is that? It was me. Not approved. It's not ladylike. It's a blast.
Those are the sacrifices. They have things for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just so thankful that we had a chance to have this conversation. And I think you've shared so many great tips for coaches, for players, for parents, just anyone who maybe wasn't sure where to start and have these conversations. I hope, you know, that people are able to learn something and are inspired by this conversation. So yeah, do you have last words of wisdom maybe for anyone looking to kind of bring these conversations to their friends and family and coaches and teammates?
Well, one, thank you for having these conversations. I think they are really, really important, and they're productive. And you know, keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome, and you are bringing an amazing voice to this community. And you know, the access and your voice and all the things that you say are very powerful. So thank you for doing all of that. And you know, what I'll leave with is just listen and ask people, you know, what did you hear? How do you feel? What can we do to help you? I use a lot of we statements. What are we going to do? Cause I'm in this too. It's not me. It's not what are you going to do? It's what are we going to do? And let's do it. Let's do it together. I have a history of saying yes far too many times, which is how I got here. So I am happy to help. That's really it. Listen, ask questions.
I love it. Well, yeah, thank you all for listening. I'm excited to continue having some awesome conversations with so many great people, and yeah, I'll see y'all next time.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.